Accession number 26978, reel 6.
Jack Wright, reel 6. So this was all at Bombay?
Yes. And then from Bombay, we moved down, once we were repaired, moved down to Cochin Harbour, which was a Royal Indian Navy station. From there, we went round to the east coast of India, calling in at Ceylon to start with. Then we went up to Madras, and then we settled in a little place called Coconada Canal. And in Coconada, we worked with another craft to load up tanks, duplex drive tanks, which were the tanks with a canvas surround, and they've been used D-Day on Normandy beaches. And the idea was that they left the craft and then ferried themselves ashore with this propeller about 7 miles out from the shore. And our job was to teach the members of the 25th Dragoons to slowly go over the door so that they didn't sink, and to sort of land in the water, or at least to ease themselves into the water, and then ferry themselves back onto land so that they could practice sort of landing on the Burma beaches. We were lucky in a way, I suppose, that we only lost two tanks. Each of the crew had Davis escape apparatus, and so they were able to sort of get out of the ship or the tank. And there was a special gear which they used, sort of a towing gear which they used to drag them back onto shore and away.
Did you think of DD tanks as a means of going into battle?
I thought it was a bit chancy, really, because it was only a canvas shroud around the craft, and it didn't seem awfully safe to me. I felt, well, there must be a hell of a lot of weight of the metal just to be sort of floated on water with a canvas around to keep out the water. But it didn't seem a very practical idea to me, but it worked, apparently.
And how were the soldiers? Were they happy to be doing this?
I don't know, really. I think they were keen on getting the feel of going ashore on their own, you know, which was something which probably they hadn't done before. But they were a good crowd, really.
And they were preparing for operations in Burma, would they have been?
Yes. Well, they were sort of training to be landed in Burma. But we had a lot of good things happening in Coconada. We were entertained by the Baptist ladies who gave us tea. They ran little dances for us, which was a bit of a disaster, really, because I don't think any of the young lads of my crew wanted to dance with these old ladies. But nevertheless, it was a good gesture, you know. It was a sort of a supply base for the fuel, and just on shore. It was an Indian naval base, and so we got quite a lot of help from the Indian Navy whilst we were out there. I was 21 whilst I was on board this craft, and the crew made up a party for me, and we had drinks on board, which I thought was tremendously good of the lads. They thoroughly enjoyed their time they were on board. We only had a couple of blokes who went ashore and got themselves drunk, but apart from that, they were pretty good. They played the game, you know.
So did you have it, when you were there, you must have had it in your head that you'd be doing a landing in Burma or Malaya at some point?
Well, this is what I thought, you know, but fortunately we took one of those out to, I suppose we were about 7 or 8 miles away from the shore, and they tried out these tanks and went ashore. We didn't hear anything more from them, but at least we felt we'd given them right training, you know. Because if they went over the door too fast, they just went straight in, you know, straight down. So it was very difficult to explain to them, you know, how speed mattered in going over the door. I think one of them that we lost was because the chain on the door, that the shackle went, and that just went straight down, and of course the tank that was already on the door just went straight down with it.
So yeah. Is this where you were when the atomic bomb was dropped?
I don't know, really. Yes, I must have been. Yes, because I was there until 46. And in that time I was out there, I did a peculiar sort of thing. In Bombay, I was, as I said, I was on duty there. Because we were in the dry dock, they tried to make use of any naval people for various jobs ashore. And the landing craft that I was on was all right, but the other landing craft, they had their ship's lanterns stolen, which were copper lanterns. And so I and the crew of the other ship, or at least the officers of the other ship, the other landing craft, we were told to take a taxi, go into the outer bounds area with these, or to try and find these missing lanterns. So we got in a taxi, we lay down on the floor because we weren't supposed to be going into an outer bounds area to pass the guards that were there on the boundary. Went into this sort of almost a village on its own, nothing but open little shops. There was at the far end of the village, or just, it was part of Bombay, there was the Streets of 1,000 Cages, as they called it, with the ladies sort of sitting in the front there, showing their wares. Of course, by this time, we were able to stand, sit up and take notice of what was going on around us. There was little boys running after the car. What a nice girl, what a nice woman, Saab. So anyway, we managed to get out around the marketplace, but unfortunately, if they'd got the things, they would have already been dismantled and using the copper for making their copper pots and goodness knows what. So we didn't find anything, but we at least had an interesting visit.
And how did it feel when the war ended, if you were in this strange place for
the war? Well, I must say I kept on looking to see when my DMOB number would come up, and it was, I got lists and lists and lists of these things, and I thought, well, it's about time I was called up for DMOB. Anyway, before that happened, whilst I was in Coconada, a Raja's son came into the naval, the Indian naval establishment, and apparently he wanted to purchase old landing craft to set up a merchant vessel supply from, he wanted to run it from Bombay to Cochin. So he came on board and he said, had I got any ideas how to put sails on this and what area of sail I would require, you see? And he said, well, also, you know, whilst you're out here, he said, would you think of staying on in India and running this fleet of landing craft from Cochin to Bombay? And I thought, well, having seen the monsoons and the high winds and that sort of thing, I don't think I'd bother. So I decided to get demobbed in England rather than demobbed out there in India. I could have stayed, but it would have meant making my own way by paying for myself to get back to England, which I wasn't prepared to do. But it was a good time, really. As I say, in the beginning, I was very lucky to be in all these areas of operation and to come back alive, which to me was a great blessing, really, and to my family, of course.
So when did you actually leave the Navy? When were you demobbed?
I think it was October 1946.
That must have felt very strange.
Yes, yes. And then I stayed in the reserve until 1955. I was training young lads for the Navy to do their national service in the Navy. And so that was really the end of my career, you know.
Did you have any regrets? Did you ever wish you'd stayed in? Or?
No, not really. I found that by that time, of course, I got a family. I got two sons of my own, and I felt that it was about time I gave it up, really. So that's when I resigned. But I enjoyed the Navy. I thought it was one of the best occupations, really, rather than being the other two services. Mind you, I don't know how I would have got on flying jets or things like that. I don't know, but there weren't jets at that time. They were, you know, mosquitoes and other craft, seahawks and so on. But I think, you know, on the whole, it was a good life. I enjoyed it, apart from these odd little moments when something happened that made me feel, well, I was a bit homesick in a way, especially when I was 21, because I hadn't got the key of the door. We managed to get some beer for that, which the crew got for me, and we had a little drink.
And so mail from home was really important.
Oh yes, yes, that was absolutely essential, because if you didn't hear from home, you sort of think, well, they've forgotten me, you know. One little thing, when I did get home, I told my mother all the places I'd been, you know, and she said, I didn't realise you'd been on such a cruise. I thought, well, I'd hardly call it a cruise, but nevertheless, she appreciated the fact, you know.
Well, thank you very much.
That's all right. I have pleasure in reminiscing, really.
It's been a real pleasure to listen to you.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely fascinating.
Good.